God. What was God doing? What God always does, working. That's right. So when a person goes to sleep at night, God's day is just beginning, and he's working, and they're sleeping, and then they wake up in the morning, and what does the psalmist say that he does? Early in the morning, I seek your face. God, you've been working all night. How can I join your work? And that's your work, then. That's how your work day begins. God's been working ahead of you. God's been doing what it is that he does, and now you join his work, and you rest in order to work. So the day begins with a connection point to the Lord that says, you're up to something today, God, and I want to know what that is. And God's saying, yep, you're right, let's have a meal. Here's your daily bread. Here's manna for today. Now let's sit down, let's eat together. You eat, what should I eat? Eat me. Consume me. Right? I'm here, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Let's be together, like who I am. I want to impart my wisdom to you. I want to channel my love through you. I want to give, God, tell me about that. Like, yes, make me that. I'm listening. So Jesus isn't saying anything that God's not saying. Jesus isn't doing anything that God's not doing. That is the heart of prophetic ministry. To have a connection to God that is consistent, faithful, and strong, that enables you to be in the moment with the Father, no matter where you are, and to speak whenever it is that God has something to say. I went out for a run the other day. Actually, it was the day after Thanksgiving. So I guess it was a little while ago. Time flies when you're having fun. So it was the day after Thanksgiving. I went out for a run, and I headed up to, my run became a mission because my wife needed blueberries. She wanted blueberry pancakes. And so I was like, we didn't have any blueberries. So I was going to run to Aldi. So I go up, and I took the long way to get there so I could actually make a run out of this thing. And I ran down Lehman Street. And I'm running down Lehman Street, and I got this bag on my back. And I'm running, and there's a girl walking toward me. And I'm running this way. And, you know, I'm sure like a lot of us do when we exercise or get into a spot where it's just, you know, that's a time with the Lord oftentimes. It turns into a time to think, a time to whatever your thing is, you know, it can be that kind. And I was in that spot. And God and I were having a conversation about something. I don't know. I'm running down the sidewalk, and this girl, I run past this girl, and she's walking to me, and just right, her head was sort of down, but as I get toward her, her head comes up, and I can see just she's weeping, and I can just see that she's crying, but she's walking, I'm running, and I just ran, you know, right past her, and it registered pretty quickly that she was weeping, and then immediately, you know, the Lord was like, she needs help. Like she needs something. So I stopped, I went back, I said, you know, excuse me, I know you don't know me at all. I couldn't help but see that you're crying. Are you okay? Do you need anything? You know, it turns out that her family is just falling apart at the seams, you know, and there's this and that and more need that could be dealt with in the situation, you know, but I'm able to say at that point in time, that, you know, God loves you. And I don't know if you've got a relationship with God, but I'm a part of a group of people, all of whom do, and who love to help people. And so if we can help you, like we can be there with you, and then can I pray with you? And so prayed with this girl. Now, I don't know if she came to Cornerstone or not. I wasn't there the week after that. But I do know that was a prophetic moment. All I did was stop, go back, ask a crying woman if she was okay, and then pray with her. But that was a massive prophetic work. I believe God's kingdom was built in that moment. You know, I believe that things matter like that, that God changes the world in little moments like that. You know, our son Ben is 12 years old, and last year he was in fifth grade, and he asked if he'd take his Bible to school. Our kids go to Lebanon public schools. Can I take my Bible to school? And I said, sure. Yeah, no problem. What do you want to take your Bible to school for? He's like, well, I'm friends with a boy named Jonas. And he said, and I was sitting there with Jonas and Christopher, and we got to talking, And Jonas doesn't believe that Jesus died on the cross. Jonas is Muslim. And Jonas doesn't believe that Jesus died on the cross. And Christopher had never heard of Jesus. So I want to take this and I want to show Jonas that Jesus died on the cross. Yes, do that. That's fantastic. You know, and so he takes his little Bible with him, cracks it open at lunch, and Jonas right here, actually four different times, this book says Jesus died on the cross. I told you Jesus died on the cross. And then Jonas told him that he doesn't believe in that book, and which opened up a whole other can of worms, whereby I can, you know, but my son becomes a prophetic marker. He doesn't know he's a prophetic marker. He just happens to love God, and he happens to love his buddy. And he's not trying to be something that he's not. Prophetic ministry isn't stepping into the ministry of D.L. Moody. You know, prophetic ministry doesn't mean that you're John the Baptist, doesn't mean that you're Elijah. It means that you're present. It means that you're there. It means that you're connected to God to hear him say in the moment, like, this person doesn't know that my son died on the cross. Can you show them? Would you show them? I want to show them through you. So take your Bible to school, you know, or stop and pray for that girl or any other. We've all got experiences like this that we can talk about that. That's prophetic ministry. Remember last week we talked about prophetic ministry, three core things. What were they? Comfort. Encouragement, comfort, and edifying. That's right. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Thank you. Right. Those are the results, the beautiful tools of prophetic ministry. So when you folks go to minister to a church of the brethren, and to serve these people with prophetic intercession, and you hear from God something, it's going to be in that vein. This isn't, at the same time, this isn't that big a deal. This is just hanging out with God and hearing and seeing what God's doing in the moment. At the same time, I think it's a huge deal when we connect to the Father and we live out his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. At the same time, on one side of things, it's just very simple life with God. On the other side of things is a God who moves mountains and who shakes things up and who uses his children in little ways to do great big things. You know, that's the beautiful relationship that we have with God. But if we are not listening, and if the word is not fresh in us, then we don't have anything to give. We become a stagnant pool. We end up saying the same things over and over. We end up doing the same things over and over, which becomes the definition of insanity, doing the same things and expecting different results. You know, like this is what, and then our lives, spiritual lives start to feel vacuous and empty, and we're sort of like, why? And it's because we've been eating the same moldy manna for years. Or it's because we've just become very busy with our lives to the point where there is not a fresh connection with God to hear what it is that he's doing in this moment. Like, what is he doing right now? What is he speaking right now? What does he want to do right now? So what we're going to do for a group exercise is we're going to look at it's not a difficult portion of Scripture, but it's not an easy portion of Scripture either. This is one of Jesus' teachings here in John chapter 6. So we're going to break up into groups, and you're going to read John 6, 25 to 71. Right? So it's a nice size chunk of Scripture. If you want, I already printed it on the back of your handout. If you all just want to be on the same page from it, or if you want to use your text, that's the same version. Yeah, the same version, I mean, yeah. So, right, exactly. Yep, it's on the back. John 6, 25 to 71. So just contextually speaking, Jesus is very, very, very popular right now. He just fed the 5,000, and the people are he is a celebrity. They love him, and they are following him everywhere he goes, but they're following him with misplaced motives. And they're following Christ not because they want to be Christ followers, but they're following Christ because he can give them stuff, and they think that he's got something to offer. And so he begins teaching in some very interesting ways. Now remember, Jesus doesn't say anything that God doesn't say. So everything that you're seeing here, Jesus speak, this is prophetic ministry. He's speaking the word of the Lord. He's aligning things. He's engaging things. He's giving pictures. He's giving stories. He's confronting. He makes these people very uncomfortable. But he is drawing them to what true discipleship is and helping them understand who God is, helping them understand who he is. But the listening that has to take place in this passage is multi-layered. Because Jesus is listening to God and speaking. The people are listening to Jesus, and they're hearing what he's saying, but they're not really listening. The disciples are watching all this, and the question is are they really listening or not listening? And who listens to who in this situation? And is what Jesus is saying clear? Or what does it take to really understand what it is that he's going after? So there are seven questions there that you can read. The first five are about the text itself. Like, what is being heard? What do you see people? How do you see people engaging what Jesus is saying? The last two are application. What do you personally hear God saying to you through this passage? And then, what do you corporately hear God saying to New Beginnings through this passage? So for question number seven, right, you're going to be in teams. You're going to be in teams of four or five. So for question number seven, I just want one answer from your group. That when you hear the word of God here in John chapter 6, and when you receive that and think about that in light of who New Beginnings is and what it is that God is calling, shaping, and forming her to be, what is God corporately saying through your group to New Beginnings through John chapter 6? Make sense? Everybody got that? Okay, cool. This is, like I said, this is a large chunk of scripture, so we're going to take like a good half hour to do this. And I'll be available for any clarification or help that you folks might need. It's right now at 7:42. We will reconvene at 8:12 and come back together to process things. So I'm just going to count you off. All right. We have 18, I think, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 16, 18. Yeah. So 1, 2,